We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School and hope you'll get your Bibles and follow along. And if you'll spend some time studying your Bible with us, you'll become proficient in your knowledge of God and of Jesus. And that's what we want you to do. Isn't it wonderful that we live in a time and a place where we can listen to Bible lessons over the radio? And there are many that you can listen to. Not only the lesson that I'm bringing now, but following me will be my father bringing a lesson, and following him, another preacher of the gospel, of the preaching for one of the churches of Christ in this area. Well, you've got about 45 minutes of Bible studies ahead of you, and all you got to do is listen to your radio. But to begin to get the most out of these lessons is to just get your Bible and open them up and follow along with us. And we're currently in a study of the life of Jesus, particularly that account of his first miracle that's recorded in John chapter 2. And we'll be finishing that lesson today. I'm going to read that entire lesson from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll complete this lesson by consulting the notes that E.A. Elam wrote concerning this miracle for the Sunday School lessons of August the 10th, 1924. And so you'll stay tuned and you'll benefit from this study. But while you're getting your Bible and turning to John 2, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Bible text that we are using for this radio Bible school is the one that E.A. Elam chose and was quite the popular text in his day. It was the American edition of the Revised English Version. Now, that was it was a standard edition of that. And so that's become shortened to call the American Standard Version. The New Testament was printed and distributed in 1900, and the entire Bible in 1901. And so it's often called the American Standard Version of 1901. But when you read it and when you hear it, you will see that it sounds very much like the old King James Version that you're so familiar with. Listen to this story. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was bidden, and his disciples, to the marriage. And when the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now there were 6 water pots of stone set there after the Jews' manner of purifying, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, "Fill up the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto him, "Draw out now, and bear to the ruler of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that now had become wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants that had drawn the water knew. And the ruler of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, "Every man that setteth on first the good wine, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is worse, thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's go to Elam's notes. And we read from verse 9 that the ruler of the feast, when he drank, knew it was wine, He knew it was good wine, and he knew not whence it was. The servants who had put water into the jars and had drawn it out, they knew. Then here are two independent witnesses to the miracles. The servants knew it was put in the water. The ruler, ignorant of this fact, knew that it was wine. And having tasted it, the ruler called the bridegroom who gave the feast and made the statement of John chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, the ruler of the feast states here the custom of the country of setting out the first the good wine. And when the appetites of the guests are sharpest, and they could easily discern the difference between the good and bad, and when all had drunk freely, and their appetites are so dull that they cannot discern the difference, then that which is worse. But the bridegroom reversed this custom, and saved the best unto the last. This all goes to prove that it was a miracle Jesus performed. For this water was turned into wine and was of a pure and good quality. That Jesus turned water into the wine at this marriage feast, the pure, wholesome fruit of the vine of that country, an abundance of which one could drink without becoming intoxicated, is not the slightest use or justification for the use of the fiery, intoxicating, poisonous liquors and strong drinks of today. Neither is it the slightest justification of the tippling saloon, or bootlegging, or selling intoxicating liquors in violation of the law, and on the sly, and under the cover of darkness, as it is now called. You see, when Jesus made wine, it was the best wine. It is only some drunk that would say the best wine would be the most alcoholic wine. That is not how they would evaluated wines in Jesus' day. Well, the very best wine would be the sweetest and the freshest, which was held as to be the most precious. And when they tasted that, they knew. Now, it's not the first time God had turned water into wine. Oh, no, that happens every year, and he uses the vine to do it. And the vine soaks up the water from the ground and works it through the grape that forms on the vine and fills that little grape with the juice of that vine, the fruit of the vine. And when you take that grape off the vine and put it into your mouth, it is the freshest and sweetest of all the times that that juice will be. And so the wine that Jesus produced at this wedding feast must have been likened to that, and not some poisonous, intoxicating beverage. We read in John 2 and verse 11 that this beginning of his signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This is not only the first miracle in Cana, it's the first of all the miracles Jesus performed. A miracle is a supernatural act. The creator of nature and who is above nature can intensify, modify, or suspend the laws of nature. And when he does, it is a miracle. Christ's miracles are here called his signs, as in John chapter 20. And in verse 30, and they are signs of his divine sonship, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it manifested his glory. The miracle was a manifestation of his divine power, and that he was more than human. He was the only begotten of the Father, John 1 and verse 14. He was the Christ, and his disciples believed on him. The disciples mentioned above, and those who were with him then, Nathanael had already confessed him to be the Son of God, the King of Israel, in John 1:49. They all believed in him, but their faith by this miracle was increased. And so concludes that Sunday school lesson on the first miracle of Jesus. And in the text that follows, we read about Jesus cleansing the temple. And that's the next lesson. This was notes. Elam wrote notes for this lesson for the Sunday schools of August the 17th, 1924. And so listen with me, and you might want to follow along in your Bibles as I read John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. And the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And he made a scourge of cords and cast all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. And to them that sold doves he said, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." When his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house shall eat me up," the Jews therefore answered and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the words which Jesus had said. The golden text for this lesson is Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13. "My house shall be called a house of prayer." The devotional reading is the 15th Psalm. The inscription calls it a Psalm of David. "Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart, he that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear Jehovah, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved." Now at the beginning of Elam's notes on this text for this Sunday school lesson, he has some hints and helps for the teachers, and it puts all these things somewhat in a context and some points to note before we really begin into the textual study. The first one is this, that after the events of the marriage feast at Cana, Jesus, his mother, and his brethren went down to Capernaum and abode there not many days, John 2 and verse 13. Now, number 2, the names of Jesus' brothers were James, Joses, Judas, and Simon. He has sisters, but the number of them is not given. We read in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. At this time, his brothers did not believe in him as the Messiah and as the Son of God, but afterward they became his disciples, as we read in Acts chapter 1. And let us all learn that what they can, that we need to learn all we can about Capernaum, where it is that Christ, and where it Christ had with it, the relationship Christ had with it, and where the disciples lived, and such things as that. Now, we're going to go to the explanatory notes. I tell you, I'm going to begin that in our next class. You might want to mark in your Bible John chapter 2 and verse 13, where it says, "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." And so we'll start from there and begin our next Sunday school class. Come by one of the Churches of Christ. There's about 45 assemblies of the Churches of Christ in Warren County. Pick out one of them and come and see how it is that we show reverence and respect for God by the reverence and respect we show toward His Word when we study it together.